Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Like the dude just said, yes, this show is solid, conservative, and just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time, I like to say. Well, it is Thursday. Thursday at the 4 o'clock hour. You know what that means. It's time for one of my favorite segments. We do it every week around this time. The Grand Council with my brethren, Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5, who also is a political editor for 1819 News. Jeff Poor, are you here?
I am present.
You are indeed. All right. And also our own WVNN morning show guy, program director, and writer for Yellowhammer News, Dale Jackson. Are you with us?
I am here, and I am proud to be here.
All right, roger that. I pronounce a quorum at the Grand Council, so Kelsey, there is a special sound effect. Hit it.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Well done, Casey. Kelsey, you play the horns almost as good as Copper does. That's a good job. All right. All right, listen, you know the deal, guys. We ping each other with questions. We don't know the questions in advance. We just see how we compare answers. Sometimes we disagree, but we still love each other when it's done. Jeff Poor, you go first.
Let's talk Senate race. Mike Durant not going to endorse, apparently, according to the 1819 News report. How big of a deal is that?
Yeah, I tell you, I'm disappointed to hear, not necessarily that he's not going to endorse, but I'm more disappointed to hear just how jaded he, and I get it. He came off of just, you know, getting beat up, being in the lead, then losing the lead. But still, nonetheless, there were 23% of the voters who were behind him. And I hope that he'll do something and stay involved in this race on behalf of the 23% who were with him the same way Jessica Taylor did for him. Go support a candidate, get involved in the race, and certainly don't do what you said, Mike, when you said, I'm not going to vote, because that's just the wrong answer, man. Just the wrong answer. And so I hope that changes. Dale.
Well, I'll tell you, Mike Durant was not very involved in politics before all of this started. He's not very involved in politics after this. Had he ever even paid attention to politics? I mean, because what we saw was not that out of the norm. I mean, I'm sure it's way worse when you're the one who's getting hammered here, but I mean, it's an overwrought response here, if you ask me. I'm staying out of it completely, and I've read some of the response to that, and it's just like, come on, dude, why are you such a snowflake?
Oh, I don't know that I'd gone snowflake on him, but nonetheless, there it is. Jeff, your own question, man, what you got?
I don't know how much it matters. I was always very dubious of. I always thought that Mike Durant's support was very dubious. He had a big number late 2021, and then heading into 2022, and led the thing for a while. And that's no small feat in a race like this. But they never built on that. They never had a foundation. They never had a ground game. And for that reason, I just thought his support was kind of like none of the above, light. And that's why he did what he did. So I'm not sure that this matters a whole lot, because I don't know what's left in the tank there.
Interesting. Let me ask you this, too. I mean, this really isn't my question, but Jeff or Dale, do you remember when Jeff Sessions did not win the primary, did he jump right in and go to bat for Tuberville?
I think he threw his weight behind him.
He was more than that. Democrat then, too.
He did more than that. He held a fundraiser for him and got kind of gave him some advice on how, what he should look for when he was putting his staff together. So no, Jeff Sessions was involved right away.
Yeah, well, Jeff Sessions is a class act, though. You know, I mean, that's really what you can take away from that. I mean, Jeff Sessions was a good guy.
Well, and Jeff Sessions is a good guy. He absolutely is. Yeah. All right, I'll take the next question. Let me do this. I'm going to stick with this U.S. Senate race. So I've been opining. Actually, I've been postulating. I don't know truly how this is going to impact. I'm asking y'all's input. So North Alabama is covered up with runoff elections. I'm talking all the way down to the county level. Everything from, you've got the U.S. Senate race all the way down to state auditor, secretary of state. You've got House races. You got county commission races. Does the fact that there is that much requirement for voting in North Alabama still to go help Mo Brooks because he's from North Alabama? Does it drive more people to the polls in North Alabama? Will that benefit Brooks Dale, your thoughts?
Yes, I think overall it does. However, I would caution this. The Democrats who might cross over in North Alabama to stick a knife in Casey Wardinsky might also decide to stick a knife in Mo Brooks as well.
Ah, interesting. Jeff?
I would say the biggest thing there is AL5 and that runoff leading the way in North Alabama. But there are runoffs at the local level, down ballot, all over the state. That's true in South Alabama. So it's probably a wash otherwise.
So you think South Alabama has as many runoffs as North Alabama does, really?
Yeah, well, at least in Baldwin County, we got a few, particularly at the local level, a big county commission race. And then over across the bay in Mobile, there's a handful. So there's going to be some money spent by these smaller campaigns for get out the vote. And I think that matters. But the big one that matters in North Alabama is AL5.
Yeah, that's the sexiest one in the state.
It is. It truly is. That and the U.S. Senate race are the ones getting all the attention right now. So my own question, I'll just tell you, I look at it and think, okay, Katie Britt is originally from down in the Dothan Enterprise area. That's where her home folks are. Mo Brooks is, of course, from up here in the Huntsville area. I'm of the mind that if you can keep the gerrymandering out of it with, you know, Democrat crossovers and that kind of thing, I think North Alabama's need to get to the polls for a variety of reasons on June 21st is helpful to Brooks. That's my thoughts on it right there. So, Dale, I think you're next.
All right, let's stay with the Senate race. He called it a circus. That's what Mike Durant said. If it is a circus, is Jeff Poore the bearded lady or Alabama's toughest journalist?
That was Sean Ross. Wasn't it Sean Ross who called it the circus for Katie Britt? You got your stories mixed up here.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. You're right about that. You're correct. I'm sorry. It was a joke question, though, but if you're going to do that, I'll do serious. No, here's my question. And, you know, again, the crossover voting thing is kind of annoying because the people who are pretending it's not happening are doing so, I think, somewhat naively. What is the point of all the people saying, no, there's no crossover voting? We know there is. Yes, Democratic voting is down 40% in the state. Some of that has to be people saying, oh, I'm going to play the Republican Party to knife Mo Brooks, right?
Yeah, I'll jump on that for a minute. We do, and Jeff and I have talked about this together several times, but I know for a fact that there are Democrats in Lee County who say that they got organized and did something, even if only 10 of them did against Tom Whiteley. That changed the race because he lost by one vote. So that can happen. We also saw in Georgia that apparently there was an organized effort by Democrats to go and support the non-Trump candidate. Like they just wanted to do it to swipe at Trump. And so that made a difference, not necessarily in the Kemp race, but it did in the Raffensperger Senate Secretary of State race. Whether it was legit, you know, going on in an organized statewide effort, like Brooks said recently, I don't know. I haven't seen the evidence. I'd love to see the evidence. And if that comes out, we'll talk about it a lot. Jeff?
Yeah, I think it goes on. Look, is it enough to have swayed the Senate race? I don't think so. 100,000 votes is a lot. I think it did sway some of these little smaller races, down ballot races. But I tell you what, guys, whatever you think of it, Republican Party's got to be some kind of consideration here, because you can't have Democrats influencing Republican Party nominees. I mean, that just it dilutes the party strength, it dilutes the message, it dilutes the ideology, and I think this is something John Wall and company are going to have to consider after this election.
About the only thing they got left is closed primaries. I mean, we already have the you can't cross over from the primary to the runoff. So what are you suggesting then?
Conventions maybe, like Virginia, where the executive committee or delegates or something pick the nominee every other cycle. I don't know what the answer is. Honestly, I don't. But whatever it is, there's got to be a discussion about it.
Well, you're right. One party state. Your own question, Dale. What do you think?
Well, I think it's clear that it's happening. The question is to what degree and what impact is it having? And I think the impact is pretty strong, but I think we're going to hear a lot about it, and you're going to hear one person say it's happening, Mo Brooks, and the other say, nah, it's not a big deal, and that will be the Katie Britt side of the equation. And I think it's obvious that it's there.
Do you think there's an effort in the CD5, the Congressional District 5 race by Democrats to go after Wardinsky? I heard one of you say that a minute ago.
Yeah, I said that. I mean, look, his time as the Huntsville School Superintendent was not beloved by the teachers union, that is for sure. The Democrats hate his guts. I think that they might come over and play there. Not that Dale Strong is like this perfect candidate for them, because he's a very conservative guy. So it doesn't really fit the narrative, really. But they don't like Wardinsky. I mean, so that's sort of like an FU to him.
Oh, all right. All right, tell you what, that's round one of the Grand Council. Kelsey, go ahead and move us to a break, man. We'll take that now. We'll come back and go to round two. We're right here, folks, with Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 down in the coastal regions of our state, and our own Dale Jackson right here at WVNN, and me, Bill Williams, Right Side Radio. We are solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. So, all right, we're back with the Grand Council, Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 down in the Mobile area, and our own Dale Jackson from right here at WVNN, and me. And I think round two starts again with Jeff.
Katie Britt is not going to debate Mo Brooks. Does this matter at all to anybody?
Dale?
Yeah, I think it matters. How much it matters is debatable, but, you know, I think they'll make hay of it. Will it be a game changer? No. Will it give the Mo Brooks people something to talk about? You know, our guy is the strongest. He's ready to fight and all this other stuff. She just wants it to be appointed and given to her, that kind of stuff. So around the edges, yeah.
Yeah, you know, anecdotally, I had a conversation with a guy today. He said, tell me about this thing with Britt and Brooks. I don't know what to do with my vote. And I said, well, I'm not going to tell you, you know, what to do. But he said, what about this debate? Are they going to debate? And I said, well, no. And he said, why not? And I said, well, apparently Britt pulled out. And his response was, if she can't get on the stage and talk about the issues and wants to be a U.S. senator, I just don't know how to reconcile that. And so he said he'll be voting for Brooks because of that very reason. I think we're going to see some of that. But in the big picture, I don't know that it matters. I don't know. It matters to me. Get on the freaking stage, both of you. I think it matters to me. But your own question, Jeff, what do you think?
I am so sick of this topic. Kay Ivey wins her election, exceeds polls, does not debate, doesn't even acknowledge she's in an election, it seems. Does some folksy cutesy ads. The same is going to happen here, I feel like. This is not a winning issue. Look, should they debate? Probably, but we have to realize the reality of the situation, and they're just not going to do it. And I don't think it behooves the Brooks campaign to make this a campaign issue. If the game is to win, then think about something else.
All right. I got the next one here. Okay, so State Senator Chris Elliott was on my show the other day. We were talking about Medicaid expansion, among other things. And in the course of it, though, I did ask him, do you smell a special session coming this summer? His immediate response was, oh, yeah. He said, we're probably going back in August to see how to spend that extra tranche of huge amounts of federal money that's coming to the state. My question to him on the air was, well, that's great. I understand you're going to allocate those funds, appropriate them like the legislature does, but, you know, we do have a court ruling that says you're allowed to use some of that for tax relief. Do you see the legislature providing tax relief to the citizens using that money? And his response was he thinks that's definitely going to be debated. You guys tell me, are they really going to do any tax relief with this money, Dale?
I think they're going to discuss it, and I think they better come up with something, even if it's just a token measure, but if they do it, it will just be a token measure.
Yep. Okay, so Jeff?
Unfortunately, no chance. There's no way. There's just whatever tax relief we're going to get is going to have to be negotiated in a much grander setting. Whenever you mention, and ask Senator Orr up y'all's way about this, whenever he mentions tax relief, they come for him. These special interests, the bureaucracy, they want this money spent for their own cause, for their own department. They come for these legislators and tell them, don't you dare talk about tax relief. We have this money earmarked for something, And I think that is going to scare away the discussion.
I don't debate that a whole lot because I've gotten very jaded on their ability to see the needs of the constituency when it comes to fiscal issues. But all they're doing is they're claiming tax relief, but they're doing little targeted things that really go try to find somebody who was impacted. You'll find nobody. I'm hopeful they'll do something, at least do a one-time thing like a gas tax freeze. They can do that, but we'll see. Dale, we got about a minute. Brother, what's your question?
All right, gun issues. It's starting to get talked about a little bit here in Alabama. Will there be anything done on this front, more so than we see on the national stage?
Done in Alabama on it?
Yep.
No.
Next legislative session.
I think we just passed open carry. I don't see anything being done at the state of Alabama that goes contrary to Second Amendment leanings.
Well, I'm talking about school security stuff, too.
Security. Well, yeah, I think they better do something on that. They'll probably upfund SROs for schools, and I hope they're going to upfund being able to put additional security measures like hardening doors and cameras into the school systems. I could see that happening. Jeff?
Good. They may require people to start carrying or something. I don't know. They're going to go in the other direction away from the gun control argument or whatever you want to call it. I just think we have this discussion after every school shooting and nothing really changes.
Fair enough. Fellas, thank you. As always, outstanding dialogue. All right, that's our own Dale Jackson from WVNN and our friend Jeff Poore from FM Talk 106.5 down in Mobile. And I am Phil Williams. That is the Grand Council every Thursday at 4. Listen, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back.